Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way.
Today on Home But Not Alone, we're talking about marriage and marriage prep. Marriage is a beautiful, joyful, challenging thing, and we're all familiar with church marriage prep programs designed to help engaged couples prepare to enter into the sacrament of marriage. With the proper mindset and preparation, a couple can increase their odds of having a strong, Christ-centered marriage, but no one is ever truly ready for what marriage brings. So today we're talking about questions that they didn't ask during marriage prep, but probably should have. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sarah. So I got to tell you, when I was getting ready, my wife and I were getting ready to be married, they had us go on a mandatory marriage retreat. And we actually really wanted to, our diocese offers 2 different options. You have this part of a Saturday and part of a Sunday or whatever it is. You don't stay overnight. Then there's another one that's like half of a weekend. You stay overnight in dorms, obviously separate and whatnot.
Yeah.
We wanted to go on that overnight one because we love that retreat center. We've given talks there and everything, but our schedule didn't allow it.
Aww.
So which was really a bummer. And we were like, yeah, it's fine. Whatever. We'll go to the other one. And we went there and, there was some friends of ours who I actually didn't know that well at the time, but my wife did. They were leading the whole retreat. And at one point, the husband of that couple asked some question. I don't remember what the question was, but it was a statistical question that no one was supposed to know the answer to. And he said, anybody have any idea? And he asked the question and people are like, I don't know. And I raised my hand and I said the exact number of the statistic. And he just goes, yeah, that's it. And everyone in this big room just turns and looks at me. And this woman at the table goes, how did you know that? I was like, I've been doing this ministry stuff for like 6 years at this point, whatever it was, 5 years at that point.
Oh boy.
And I was like, I look like a know-it-all. I look like some guy who's just like, here's the answer no one's going to get. And I knew the number exactly. So
that was funny.
Mildly awkward, but you know, for me, that's not really that awkward. That's barely even scratching the surface of awkwardness.
At least you were willing to answer the question, because, you know, I feel like sometimes in the marriage prep classes, like the presenter will ask a question and everyone's like, no eye contact. Nobody wants to answer the questions or like just get it over with. So that's good that you were involved.
I have to hold back in those situations because I'm the guy who's so used to presenting over the last 10 years that when I'm like, oh, someone else is presenting, I shouldn't be speaking as much as they are. And my lovely wife has gotten me much better at holding back on that. But I'm like, oh yeah, I have these things to say. And it's like, no, wait, it's not my turn. Sit back. Okay. Let somebody else have a turn.
That's good.
All right. So let's talk about some of these things that we decided were not discussed in marriage prep, but maybe should have been.
And these are not serious things.
No. Let's be very clear. Okay. This is not some sort of we're trying to reform the marriage prep set of plans, whatever you call it.
We're just trying to have fun.
We're just trying to have some fun today. And hopefully that comes across in the questions and the answers. So here's the first one that I wrote down. How much space do you consider necessary for 2 people to function simultaneously in the same kitchen?
There is never enough space.
There's not. That's true.
2 people should not be in the kitchen at the same time. Sometimes, like if my husband really wants to help, he can stand in one spot at the stove and stir a pot and that's it. But like, don't move because you will be in my way.
The way our kitchen works, we have a little wrap around like peninsula. And when I say little, it's not big. So if you are standing, for example, facing the stove, mm-hmm. then to the right is the sink. To the left is the peninsula, which is really the only place to do like counter prep. It's like prep on the counter or whatever.
Sure.
So you got your prep area on your left. You got your stove on your right. You got the sink to the, or stove on in front of you. Ah,
yep,
doesn't matter.
Stove in front
anyway,
of you.
So it's all right there. And then right next to the sink, we have a dishwasher. And right next to that, we have a refrigerator. So it is all within
my
arm's reach. Yeah. And for some reason, my wife and I still struggle to figure out, we can't have the refrigerator door and the dishwasher door open at the same time because they just smash into each other. Yeah. So even if it's like, hey, I'm going to empty the dishwasher while I'm putting something away or getting food out or whatever. It's like, no, don't do that.
No, okay? You're not. That's just, don't even walk in the kitchen.
That is something I have learned. I've learned a lot of things the hard way in marriage, but that I've learned, like, okay, we don't wait until the last possible second to do like dinner prep. Like if we think that dinner is going to take 25 minutes to prep, we need to start 45 minutes before, because we will be interrupted by kids. We will be interrupted by each other, and things need to happen. Or, you know, Pinterest or whatever on the Google will, I called it the Google. It'll be like, oh, this takes 20 minutes in the oven. And then you pull it out of the oven after 20 minutes and it's like, hi, I'm still raw. And it's like, what are you doing to me? Get back
in
my
oven.
40
more minutes. That's not good. Yeah.
So you gotta allow that time. And in my house, I don't know, do you ever do this? But in my house, we are big on like advanced meal prep, so that like stuff will just be in the fridge then, and like from earlier
that's
in the day
good.
Or later you know, or the previous day, and you just take it out, pop it in the oven or slap things together, and then it's like boom, super fat. Do you ever do that?
Ideally, I would like to do that, but I get up with the intention of planning what's for dinner, getting it out of the freezer, defrosting some meat, getting stuff ready. And then 4 o'clock rolls around and I'm like, shoo, I didn't defrost any meat. And then I have a crisis for dinner basically every night.
We have to make ourselves do this. We have to plan a week's worth of meals at a time, because then we will only go to the grocery store one day. And then if we don't get something, we're just like, oops, I guess we didn't get that. We have to live without it. And that helps us keep our budget under control.
Yeah, right.
We don't end up going store. But we don't. Otherwise, we'll get to day four or five and we'll be like, we don't know what we have for making anything. So, okay, here's another question they should talk about in marriage prep. What is the smallest possible bed you could share with someone after having a fight? All right.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And I'll even throw in another thought on that. Or what is the smallest possible bed you could share when the wife is pregnant and burning up at 4,000 degrees, because that's
now that's when I can speak to. Holy cow. Yep. In that third trimester, I'm always like too grumpy, too hot, can't sleep. Like, don't anybody come near to me. Yeah. There's no sharing a bed at that point. I've gotten up and gone to sleep on the couch just to get some air, put a fan on me or something, be alone.
Right after we got married, we got a king size bed, and we did so. And I told some people at a parish I was working at, and they, you know, they were in their 60s and they were like, but you just got married. You should want the small bed. And I was like, no. And then my wife was pregnant not too long after that. And we were like, oh yeah, we need the big bed. Because did you know that this is science, this is fact, that when women are pregnant, they actually are like producing more blood in their body. And so the blood vessels expand and then they get closer to the surface. And that's why women feel warmer.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I knew that that women produce more blood when pregnant, but I didn't know the other details. That's interesting. Yes.
Yeah. And then
a lot.
You all become 4,000 degrees. And
I did know that the body temp stays up during pregnancy. That's something I did know. But
yes, that I only learned recently. I just always thought it was kind of like my imagination. like when no. my wife was pregnant once and she touched my arm and I honestly didn't realize it was her hand. And I turned around and pulled my arm away and said, ow, because I really felt. And then I was like, I feel like you burned me. My arm felt burned. It was hot. Yeah, but I don't know. Anyway. All right. Let's try another one. Okay.
Okay.
Another question. What temperature will we keep the house in the winter and in the summer? And how many degrees in either direction are you willing to bend on that? Have you guys ever talked about
that? You need to bring it down to the actual number of degrees. Yes, that is important. This is one they should really ask in marriage prep.
What I'm saying. That's what I know. These are silly on purpose, but they're also talk about these beforehand because you're going to have to talk about them eventually.
Yes. Yeah.
What temperature do you guys keep your house at?
Well, I actually don't really know what to tell you because we have electric heat. So we set our thermostats to 55 in the winter, but we keep the house warm with the wood stove.
Oh,
and
okay.
My husband cranks that wood stove. Like I am nice. Sweating whenever he's home, like put on a t-shirt and, you know, bare feet and whatever. I'm just not as good at keeping the house as warm with the wood stove. So I keep it as warm as I can. But like if he's at work for the day, I'm colder just because I can't keep it as warm. But I like it warm in the house. Like I like it to feel like summertime in the house in the winter.
Everybody likes it to feel like summertime. That's not just you. That's I love those stoves though. Those are great.
Yeah, they keep it nice and warm. And that's why we do our school in the winter. We do school like in the same room where the wood stove is because then we can all stay warm. But
sounds like Little House on the Prairie. Just everybody homeschooling, sitting around the little fire stove, little keeping you warm. That's great. That sounds like that. Anyway.
Oh, it's not as whimsical as you think it is. But
I don't think it's whimsical. I just okay, let's try another one. Okay.
What
is the appropriate number of decorative pillows on a bed or on a couch?
I drove Chad crazy with this one early in our marriage.
I get the feeling a lot of men get driven crazy by this one early in marriage. But
yeah, I would put all the pillows every day. Like you make the bed and you put all the pillows on. It's like, why are you doing this? Then I just have to take the pillows off when I want to get in bed and take a nap in the afternoon. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah. Decorative pillows.
On the couch though, we have like cushions, like the couch cushions on the back and the sides of the couch. And the kids just throw those all over the place. So that's an entirely separate problem. But I don't put decorative pillows on the couch. But I did used to put them on the bed. Now we don't have any decorative pillows.
Yeah, I just don't get the point of decorative pillows. I mean, a pillow is to be leaned on and then you hit your sibling with it. And, you know, like it's not meant to be like a decoration. You want a decoration, put something, I don't know, decorative up there. I don't know. It's just so impractical to me. I don't know. You know me. I'm very practical. And
think they're cute, but they're not worth picking them up off the floor and throwing them back on the couch 1,000 times a day because my kids, I don't know what it is, but the couch cushions always get thrown off the couch. So,
well, and I tell you this about decorative pillows that you put on a couch. Okay. I have a very stern look on my face right now because I'm about to say this and I mean it.
Noted.
Pillows, by nature, you use them and they get, you know, they get pounded in, they get beat in, they get a little softer, a little flatter, whatever it is.
Yep.
Decorative pillows look like they've been inflated like a beach ball. And then they just kind of slide right off the couch constantly. Like that to me is my experience, is that decorative pillows, they don't even want to be there. So why are we making them stay there? Anyway, that's it. That's my very firm and strong opinion on something that doesn't matter at all. All right, so next one. All right, what do we have? What are the parameters for deciding when an article of clothing needs to be either thrown in the trash or used as a rag? Do you have any measurement for that in your house?
Oh, man, I wish there were a measurement for that. I don't necessarily use things for rags, but I would definitely like things thrown in the trash more often than they are. For example, if you're wearing the same shorts that you wore in high school, they need to be thrown in the trash and your wardrobe needs an update. for a random non-specific example.
Oh yeah, very random, very random. Can I tell you, I have two different measurements for this. The first one, and this is mostly used for shirts, but it could be shirts or pants, is if you hold it up to a light and you can clearly see the light is coming straight through, like it is basically transparent, both the front and the back of a shirt are transparent, then it's time for it to go.
That's a good one.
In the case of pants, I actually threw out a pair of pajama pants this morning because I got out of bed and the first 10 minutes of being out of bed, those pajama pants would not stay up. So those pajama pants had clearly said to me, I quit. I am retiring. I'm gone. So those are my two measurements of being able to see straight through. And if I need a belt, a real belt for pajama pants,
yeah,
pajama pants need to go.
That's not
so
good. That's not
anyway,
good.
that's my measure. That's my measurement for that. Okay. Then another one is, what percentage of closet space do you think you will require? Because I don't think that this is talked about, and people I think most married couples seem to share a closet. You don't typically have different closets in a bedroom. So what percentage of closet space do you, Sarah, think that you, or did you think you were going to require, and were you correct?
I always assumed we would split the closet half and half because that seems fair to me. And we do split the closet half and half, so I don't really know what else to say.
No, that's good. Then you made an.
I think Chad needed more of the closet when we had a teeny, teeny, tiny little closet, and he was going to work every day, so he had all his work clothes, and they didn't fit on exactly half of the closet. So I just bowed like maybe a little bit of my percentage of the closet to him, because I could just wear my jeans and t-shirt, which were in a bureau, which was bigger than his bureau, so it all evened out. But yeah, basically we stick to splitting the closet half and half.
Yeah, see, and that's very practical. That's why the discussion should happen, is because, you know, his work clothes and your clothes and whatever. And for us, when we first got married, part of it was we just hadn't figured out how to properly organize our closet. So
yeah.
I had more space, and then we took down the, whatever you call it, the shelving and whatnot in the closet and put up new stuff. Okay. And in the process of doing that, we realized that I owned a bunch of clothes that didn't really fit me well anymore. So we got rid of those. And then we realized, I actually only need about a third of the closet. So everything just kind of fell into place. And my wife doesn't need the other full two thirds, but then we use it for other stuff. So
then you have storage and other free space and stuff. Yeah, but I definitely know people. Won't mention any names, who need a lot of closet space. And so, yeah, definitely something good to talk about.
Yes. I have another one, and I don't know if I have a strong opinion on this one, but I'm gonna throw this out there. What is an acceptable amount of hair to leave in a shower or a sink?
None.
No
hair. When you're done, you take the hair out. Well, sometimes I leave my hair on the side of the shower because the kids need me and I don't have time to get it out because everybody's screaming when I have to jump out of the shower real quick. But I will come back and clean it up later because it's my hair. It's my job. I better get it out of that shower or that sink. Yeah. So none.
That's good to hear. A very good friend of mine, at least shortly after he got married, I know that his wife used to leave her hair in the shower. And I can't remember if he used to then take the hair and leave messages on the shower wall or if she actually left him messages with hair on the shower. But I think she forgot to get it out. So he would then write her notes in her own hair. And she was like,
I'm not saying I never leave my hair in the shower, but when I do, it is unacceptable. I'm aware of that.
Well, yeah. You know what I've found, because I trim my beard with an electric trimmer, it's really difficult to get like on the little nooks and crannies of a sink to get all of the little hair out without like clearing off like the hand soap dispenser and a toothbrush holder and the whatever, move everything. Now I got to wash down the entire sink, and that's, you know, challenging.
I usually do it with I'll grab the baby wipes or whatever and then wipe down all around the sink. If there's like, if I do a haircut or something and somebody's hair is all over the sink. Yeah.
Yeah, but I have to do that every week. So that's not the easiest thing. Not, I don't trim my beard every week. Sometimes it's every week. It depends on what's going on. Okay, let's look at another one. What do we have here? Okay. Oh, this is one that I think everybody should talk about. What aspect of adulting are you each still extremely far from mastering? Because there are so many that when I got married, I had not mastered them. I did not know how to deal with taxes. Okay.
I still don't know how to deal with taxes. Yeah. Thankfully, my husband does them all.
There you go. See, I worked for the Catholic Church, so I made so little money that the government was like, no, you're fine. Okay, just you're fine. All right. We feel bad for you. Just don't do it. And so, no, like I would file my taxes, but I always had somebody else do them. And so, but there's just so many things like, okay, is it like car repair? And it doesn't have to be actually doing it, but okay, how often do you get the vehicle there? Or, hey, what do I do when the pipes are clogged? Or how do I, pay my bills? Or how do I there's a,
or like, how do I call the doctor and make my own doctor appointment? You have to know if you need to help each other out with that.
Exactly, because some don't know how to do those sorts of things.
Yeah, right.
Luckily, I married a nurse, and my knowledge of taking care of myself actually got worse, because now I'm like, oh good, she can just remember. Okay, because she has the brain for that, and my brain is like, I wonder what they're serving for breakfast in Belgium today. Like, that's what I'm thinking about. Completely useless things. So, okay. What is another one? Okay. This is one that I think is interesting. Is it ever acceptable to leave the bathroom door open when you are using the toilet? And
what do you... Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Should the toilet lid, not the toilet seat, should the toilet lid be left up or down? Okay, because I have strong opinions on this, but I want to hear what you think. Like, should you be shutting the toilet lid? Because people always argue about the toilet seat. I want to talk about the lid. What do you think?
Well, first one, you talked about leaving the bathroom door open. What do you mean by open? Do you mean just unlocked, or do you mean like wide open?
I mean, either. Let's say wide open. Let's go with that.
No, you don't leave it wide open. But, I mean, let's see. Once you have kids, things become a little bit different. You'll definitely have to leave it unlocked, because the kids might need you in an emergency if you're in the shower. You might even leave it a crack open, because you might have a little tiny kid who can't quite open the door yet. But wide open... no, that's just weird.
Well, and I know plenty of people who are like, yeah, no, we just use the toilet in front of our spouse all the time. No question.
That's weird.
That needs to be talked about. It absolutely does. But here's why I want to tell you, here's why I brought up the toilet lid. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a commercial. There are a lot of commercials that make me angry. Okay. Because I'm an old man, but it's one where they're like, oh man, the odors, you flush and they go all over your bathroom. So you need our odor thing. And I'm like, okay, here's the thing. The toilet seat, you can have a lid and you shut the lid, because if you don't, if you leave it up and you flush, germs can fly as far as what I understand is 10 feet away from the toilet. And I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you risk leaving it open where toothbrushes and other things can just fall right in? Okay.
Yes.
Why would people do that? I don't understand. And let me just end the nonsense argument that's gone on for many, many, many years in media about the toilet seat. Well, just put it down. Why?
Well, because, because you should be putting the lid down as well. Yes.
Yes,
in our house, we try to
solve the problem.
Well, the kids don't follow this, but ideally in our house, you shut the seat, you shut the lid. Our kids don't even flush the toilet half the time. We have to flush it for them or remind them. Send them back in. Every time a kid comes out of the bathroom, I'm like, go back in and flush the toilet, because I'm sure you didn't. But yes, Shut the lid. Shut the lid.
Well, see, that's just that's part of
things get fall in the toilet.
That's part of parenting. You get the marriage prep questions. You can't ask the question, "Hey, should our kids shut the toilet lid?" Yes, they should. Okay, but you gotta teach the kids after you've come.
Yeah, once you've solved it in the marriage, then you can teach it to the kids.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Let's see. How about this? Okay, let's go with one more here. All right.
Okay.
Marriage requires a great deal of compromise. What if anything, are you absolutely unwilling to compromise on? What do you think, sir?
I mean, I'm taking this seriously now.
Yeah. Honestly, that's what popped into my head too, but I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I would not compromise on, and I don't think so. I mean,
really, it just comes down to the faith. Everything else can pretty much, you can work it out, you can find a way, give it some time, and then somebody or other is going to bend eventually.
Yeah, I'm trying to think though, what if my wife said no Wi-Fi? I'm not sure if I could compromise on that.
You could do it because you try to detach yourself from social media and anything anyways, so you would realize that this is a good thing and you'd eventually be on board.
I use the internet for research constantly. I'm always reading things, downloading podcasts, whatever it is. So
that's true.
I don't know. But you know, you get an unlimited data plan and you don't need the, I don't know. Now I'm trying to think through this, even though my wife has never once suggested that we get rid of Wi-Fi.
So right.
I don't know.
You're
why
just
I'm
throwing
thinking
a hypothetical.
Just in the midst of recording our podcast. Just, everybody, let's go through my thought process. See how it works or doesn't work.
Oh boy.
All right. So next one. All right. What do we have? What are the parameters for deciding when an article of clothing needs to be either thrown in the trash or used as a rag? Do you have any measurement for that in your house?
Oh, man. I wish there were a measurement for that. I don't necessarily use things for rags, but I would definitely like things thrown in the trash more often than they are. For example, if you're wearing the same shorts that you wore in high school, they need to be thrown in the trash and your wardrobe needs an update. For a random non-specific example.
Oh yeah, very random. Very random. Can I tell you, I have two different measurements for this. The first one, and this is mostly used for shirts, but it could be shirts or pants, is if you hold it up to a light and you can clearly see the light is coming straight through. Like, it is basically transparent. Both the front and the back of a shirt are transparent. Then it's time for it to go.
That's a good one.
In the case of pants, I actually threw out a pair of pajama pants this morning because I got out of bed. And the first 10 minutes of being out of bed, those pajama pants would not stay up. So those pajama pants had clearly said to me, "I quit. I am retiring. I'm gone." So those are my two measurements of being able to see straight through. And if I need a belt, a real belt for pajama pants, pajama pants need to go.
That's not good. That's not
anyway,
good.
that's my measurement for that. Then another one is, what percentage of closet space do you think you will require? Because I don't think that this is talked about, and people I think most married couples seem to share a closet. You don't typically have different closets in a bedroom. So what percentage of closet space do you, Sarah, think that you, or did you think you were going to require, and were you correct?
I always assumed we would split the closet half and half because that seems fair to me. And we do split the closet half and half, so I don't really know what else to say.
No, that's good. Then you made it.
I think Chad needed more of the closet when we had a teeny, teeny, tiny little closet, and he was going to work every day, so he had all his work clothes, and they didn't fit on exactly half of the closet. So I just bowed like maybe a little bit of my percentage of the closet to him, because I could just wear my jeans and t-shirt, which were in a bureau, which was bigger than his bureau, so it all evened out. But yeah, basically we stick to splitting the closet half and half.
Yeah, see, and that's very practical. That's why the discussion should happen, is because, you know, his work clothes and your clothes and whatever. Yeah, and for us, when we first got married, part of it was we just hadn't figured out how to properly organize our closet. So
yeah.
I had more space, and then we took down the, whatever you call it, the shelving and whatnot in the closet and put up new stuff. Mm-hmm. And in the process of doing that, we realized that I owned a bunch of clothes that didn't really fit me well anymore. So we got rid of those. And then we realized, I actually only need about a third of the closet. So everything just kind of fell into place. And my wife doesn't need the other full two thirds, but then we use it for other stuff. So
then you have storage and other free space and stuff. Yeah, but I definitely know people. Won't mention any names, who need a lot of closet space. And so, yeah, definitely something good to talk about.
Yes. I have another one, and I don't know if I have a strong opinion on this one, but I'm gonna throw this out there. What is an acceptable amount of hair to leave in a shower or a sink?
None. No hair. When you're done, you take the hair out. Well, sometimes I leave my hair on the side of the shower because the kids need me and I don't have time to get it out because everybody's screaming when I have to jump out of the shower real quick. But I will come back and clean it up later because it's my hair. It's my job. I better get it out of that shower or that sink. Yeah. So none.
That's good to hear. A very good friend of mine, at least shortly after he got married, I know that his wife used to leave her hair in the shower. And I can't remember if he used to then take the hair and leave messages on the shower wall or if she actually left him messages with hair on the shower. But I think she forgot to get it out. So he would then write her notes in her own hair. And she was like,
I'm not saying I never leave my hair in the shower, but when I do, it is unacceptable. I'm aware of that.
Well, yeah. You know what I've found? Because I trim my beard with an electric trimmer, it's really difficult to get, like, on the little nooks and crannies of a sink to get all of the little hair out without, like, clearing off, like, the hand soap dispenser and a toothbrush holder and the whatever. Move everything. Now I got to wash down the entire sink, and that's, you know, challenging.
I usually do it with, I'll grab the baby wipes or whatever and then wipe down all around the sink if there's, like, if I do a haircut or something and somebody's hair is all over the sink. Yeah.
Yeah. But I have to do that every week. So that's not the easiest thing. I don't trim my beard every week. Sometimes it's every week. It depends on what's going on. Okay. Let's look at another one. What do we have here? Okay. This is one that I think everybody should talk about. What aspect of adulting are you each still extremely far from mastering? Because there are so many that when I got married, I had not mastered them. I did not know how to deal with taxes. Okay.
I still don't know how to deal with taxes. Yeah. Thankfully, my husband does them all.
There you go. See, I worked for the Catholic Church, so I made so little money that the government was like, no, you're fine. Okay, just you're fine. All right, we feel bad for you. Just don't do it. And so I would file my taxes, but I always had somebody else do them. And so there's just so many things like, okay, is it like car repair? And it doesn't have to be actually doing it, but okay, how often do you get the vehicle there? Or hey, what do I do when the pipes are clogged? Or how do I, you know, pay my bills, or how do I this, that, you know, there's a,
or like, how do I call the doctor and make my own doctor appointment? You have to know if you need to help each other out with that.
Exactly. Because some don't know how to do those sorts of things.
Yeah, right.
Luckily I married a nurse and my knowledge of taking care of myself actually got worse because now I'm like, oh good. She can just remember. Okay. Because she has the brain for that. And my brain is like, I wonder what they're serving for breakfast in Belgium today. Like, that's what I'm thinking about. Completely useless things. So, what is another one? Okay. This is one that I think is interesting. Is it ever acceptable to leave the bathroom door open when you are using the toilet? And
what do you? Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Should the toilet lid, not the toilet seat, should the toilet lid be left up or down? Okay, because I have strong opinions on this, but I want to hear what you think. Like, should you be shutting the toilet lid? Because people always argue about the toilet seat. I want to talk about the lid. What do you think?
Well, first one, you talked about leaving the bathroom door open. What do you mean by open? Do you mean just unlocked, or do you mean like wide open?
I mean either. Let's say wide open. Let's go with that.
No, you don't leave it wide open. But I mean, let's see. Once you have kids, things become a little bit different. You'll definitely have to leave it unlocked because the kids might need you in an emergency if you're in the shower. You might even leave it a crack open because you might have a little tiny kid who can't quite open the door yet. But wide open, no, that's just weird.
Well, and I know plenty of people who are like, yeah, no, we just use the toilet in front of our spouse all the time. No question.
That's weird.
That needs to be talked about. It absolutely does. But here's why I want to tell you. Here's why I brought up the toilet lid. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a commercial. There are a lot of commercials that make me angry. Okay. Because I'm an old man. But yeah. It's one where they're like, oh, man, the odors. You flush and they go all over your bathroom. So you need our odor thing. And I'm like, okay, here's the thing. The toilet seat, you can have a lid. And you shut the lid because if you leave it up and you flush, germs can fly as far as what I understand is 10 feet away from the toilet. And I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you risk leaving it open where toothbrushes and other things can just fall right in? Okay.
Yes.
Why would people do that? I don't understand. And let me just end the nonsense argument that's gone on for many, many, many years in media. About the toilet seat, well, just put it down. Why
because you should be putting the lid down as well. Yes,
yes,
in our house, we try to
solve the problem.
Well, the kids don't follow this, but ideally, in our house, you shut the seat, you shut the lid. Our kids don't even flush the toilet half the time. We have to flush it for them or remind them. Send them back in every time a kid comes out of the bathroom. I'm like, go back in and flush the toilet because I'm sure you didn't. But yes. Shut the lid.
Well, see, that's just
I don't like
part
when things
parenting.
Get fall in the toilet.
That's part of parenting. You get the marriage prep questions. You can't ask the question, hey, should our kids shut the toilet lid? Yes, they should. Okay. But you gotta teach the kids after you've, you know, come
yeah,
to
once
an
you've solved once you've solved it in the marriage, then you can teach it to the kids.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Let's see. How about this? Okay, let's go with one more here. All right.
Okay.
Marriage requires a great deal of compromise. What if anything, are you absolutely unwilling to compromise on?
The
what do
vape?
You think, sir?
I mean, I'm taking this seriously now.
Yeah. Honestly, that's what popped into my head too. But I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I would not compromise on, and I don't think so. I mean
really it just comes down to the faith. Everything else can pretty much, you can work it out, you can find a way, give it some time, and then somebody or other is gonna bend eventually.
Yeah, I'm trying to think though, what if my wife said no Wi-Fi? I'm not sure if I could compromise on that.
You could do it because you try to detach yourself from social media and anything anyways, so you would realize that this is a good thing and you'd eventually be on board.
I use the internet for research constantly. I'm always reading things, downloading podcasts, whatever it is. So
that's true.
I don't know. But you know, you get an unlimited data plan and you don't need the, I don't know. Now I'm trying to think through this, even though my wife has never once suggested that we get rid of Wi-Fi. So
right.
I don't know
You're
why
just
I'm
throwing
thinking
a
through
hypothetical
it. Just in the midst of recording our podcast. Just, yeah, everybody, let's go through my thought process. See how it works or doesn't work. Oh,
oh boy.